and what to look for when you go out to buy a lulav. The pasuk in the Torah tells us kapos tamarim, kapos tamarim, which then the Mishabur is Akdama to Simin Tav Resh Mem Hey. He gives us over different simanim of what is the Torah referring to, which are halacha Meshav Sinai in kapos tamarim. There's three parts to a lulav. There's the shedra, which is the spine or backbone. There's the alim, the leaves. And then the third part is the tumis. Tumis is the top parts of either all the leaves or the middle leaf. The shear of a lulav is at least four tefachim. At least four tefachim. Someone who wants to be machmir for the chumra dika shear of the chazanish will come out to 40 centimeters. Now this shear that we're giving over here is in the shedra, in the spine, the backbone. But the leaves that go above the shedra, right, the backbone goes up, and then there's leaves that come up above it. You'll see. This lulav is from this year, it's already moldy. But there's the backbone, and then there's the leaves that come up above the backbone, that come up above the shedra, that we're not counting. That's not part of the shear. The Bir Halacha brings down a discussion of what about on the bottom of the lulav. Sometimes on the bottom of the lulav, when they cut the lulav off, when they cut off the lulav, the leaves fall off, and it's without leaves on the bottom of the lulav. And the Bir Halacha is mashma that there's a strong tzad that you don't start counting until where the leaves start. So according to that, it means the share of the four tefachim with the 40 centimeters will start where the leaves start on the bottom and go until the top of the shedra. The Shulchan Aruch Harav is mefurish that you do not need to start counting from where the leaves start. You can start counting from the bottom of the lulav. And like I said, Bir Halacha is really mesupik about it. Chaznish was makbar on him in Ikra Din. When we talk about the share of the four tefachim, it really the share is that the hadassim and the arabes need to be three tefachim, and the lulav has to be, the shedra of the lulav has to be a tefach above the hadassim and the arabes. So if one will have tall hadassim and arabes, so then their lulav needs to be taller than four tefachim. It's just the minimum. The minimum lulav is four tefachim, which means that the hadassim and arabes are three tefachim, and then you have one tefach above that. Above the hadassim and arabes is when you tie them two together. The Magen Avraham in Hilchas Chanukah, when he's discussing candles, wax candles, he says over there that there's a hiddur that the candles should be aruchim, tall. And he ends off k'may lulav esrik, like we find by lulav and esrik. So we see from there also that there seems to be an inyan to have a nice tall lulav. It's also brought down the Rabbeinu Manoach that there's a hiddur mitzvah of a tall lulav. Okay, now so you'll see some people on Makbid, they're looking at the lulav, that should be straight and not crooked. What's that all about? So the halacha is that if it's doimah to a ma'agel, to like a sickle, it's puzzle. But derech klal, you're not going to find this on the market. A lulav which is bent over enough, that will be puzzle. And also, it's only if it's bent to forward and not backwards. Meaning, if it's bent towards the shedra, towards the shedra side, so that's not a problem. That's kasha. However, there's a Rav Sadia going in his siddur that he writes when he's giving hadracha to buying a lulav, says it should be yashav le'ma'ukam klal, and not bent at all. And that's why people will try to get a straight lulav. If it's bent to the sides, that's a suffix in the Gemara. The Rosh and the Rif take on the Chumrah, and that's why the Machaber Paskins also. There's a question in the Paiskim, if this psul, if it would be bent to the side, is that psul only the first day or all 7 days? But like I said, usually that's not a problem. By lulavim, we don't have the problem of morkav, of grafted. Therefore, Therefore, even though by Esrig, you have to be careful about where you buy the Esrig from, there shouldn't be more kavod should be grafted, but by Lulav, you don't have that problem, so you don't need any special Hechsher, except if it's the eighth year, I mean the year after Shemitah, so then you may need a Hechsher, special Hechsher, that work was not done in the field of the Lulavim Be'isser. And also, you always have to check that there's no chashash gezel. You don't want it to be a stolen lulav. The Torah and the Levush explain that the way a lulav grows is as follows. Derech ha-lulav kishyotzim in a dekel. The way a lulav, when the lulav comes out of the dekel, out of the palm tree, so it comes out kulay eitz echad kechetz. It's like one wood, like an arrow. La'acha shegodol ma'at. As it's growing, niftach ma'ar, it starts to open up. And the more it stays on the tree, the more the leaves start to open and start to spread apart. So in other words, you have a lulav, you have the shedra. On both sides, a normal lulav, on both sides of the shedra, there are leaves. On both sides, which the leaves are attached to the lulav. And then they start to spread out. The halach is nifridu ha'alin. If the alin start to spread out, kasha. It's kasha. However, again, mitzvah min ha'muvcha, the Ramah brings down from the Magen Mishnah, mitzvah min ha'muvcha, to take a lulav, which its leaves are mehudakim, they're still against the middle. The Gra and others are medayik that from the lashon of kasha, that there's a mitzvah, it's kasha, nifridu, if it starts spread out, it's kasha, but still, it's a mitzvah min hamuvcha to look for one where the leaves did not start to spread out yet. Now, each one of these leaves come in a pair. Each one is a pair. There's like a back to it, and then you can like split it in half each leaf. And the leaves you'll see also not only each leaf is a pair. But if you follow it up on the lulav itself, there's one on the right, one on the left, going up and up and up until you get to the top, to the top of the shedra. On the top of the shedra, there's either two leaves coming out or three. And this is what's called the tiyumis. In halacha, when we refer to the tiyumis, we're referring to if there's two leaves coming out, so then, according to many paiskim, both of those leaves have the name tiyumis. There are three leaves coming out above the shedra. So then the middle one, which is usually the tallest one, is called the tiyumis. And the tiyumis will have special dinim, as we'll see soon. Now, there's halacha of nechleka tiyumis. If the tiyumis, let's talk about a little of where there's three leaves coming up. So the middle one is the tiyumis. Start to split, right? Each leaf is made of two parts, and they start to split apart. So the Ramah tells us that me'ikar adin, it's not possible unless the middle leaf split all the way down to the shedra. And in the Dakimaisha, he brings Makarthus from the Trumas Edeshin, which is being chaylik on the Arzuruah that holds that it has to be split down into the shedra. So that has to be split into the shed. The Biyah Gra brings that the Arzuruah was chaylik, and this way the Mishnah Berurah brings down. The Mishnah Berurah says, "V'shem the Gra she'tzarch la'achmei gam minechlak roiv ha'ala." Even if most of it split, not the whole thing. But if most of it split, you should be machmer. However, the Mishnah Berurah is mashma that there may not even be a machlekes over here between the Gra and the Ramah. And according to everyone, if you have another lulav that's not split at all, it's better to make a bracha on the other one. But me'ikra din, if it's split just partially, it would be kasha. However, the Ramah writes, ulechatchila mitzvah min amuvcha lito lulav shle nechlaka ala elyon klal. Mitzvah min amuvcha to find that lulav where it's not split at all. the reason for that is, the Mishbrua explains, because if it will be even split a small amount, we're worried that when you're going to be doing your Nanuyim, which you're shaking it, so then it's going to cause it to open up more, and then it will reach a point where it's opened most of the way, or all the way, and will be puzzle. That's the reason for that. There's a etzer that the Pesachim discuss. So if I have a beautiful loaf, everything's going great, and just a little open on top, so can I glue it together? Glue it together. One year we had someone brought over to me this nice, tall loaf. It was like split like a tefach down. But it wasn't most of the way down. So we laid it down, we glued it together. What's the story with gluing? So, according to many Paiskim, it's a good Eitzah. If the reason is because we're worried that it's going to continue to open up, so then it's a very good Eitzah. And that's why it's brought down from different Paiskim, that it would be mutter to do that. Other Paiskim had other nidonim about this gluing, if it's Baal Taisif, if it's considered like adding another min, or is it, which was a long discussion, the earlier Tshuvas, the Meichim used to take lulavim like this and just paint them green so it should look nice. And so was the paint called Baal Taisif or Chatzitza? Different other issues. But again, like I said, that if one does not need to come onto it, then it's definitely mitzvah mufka not to have to come on to this. Niktam Roshay, if it's chipped on top, if it's broken on top. So over here, there's a question: what exactly is this psul? The Ramah Paskins, like the Rishonim, that if it was niktam, the middle leaf was niktam, it's pasul. The middle leaf we look at, and there again, there's also different shittas. How much has to be niktam? Roiv of the leaf, or to be machmi even on a kolshu. And the Ritva says very interesting idea. He says to be machmi even on a kolshu because the Rosh of the Lulav is like the Chaitim of the Esrik. And the Mishmur says one should try to be Machma, like the Shita. That since the Chaitim of the Esrik, we all know by the Esrik, the top part of the Esrik, we're more Machma on because that's what catches the eye of a person. So too, the top of the Lulav has also this Inyan. Now, many times, in order to see whether it's niktam or not, is difficult. It's difficult for a person. So, if you see that has a spitz, a point, okay, so then you know it. You know, but a lot of times it's still hard to see if it's niktam b'mashu or not. So there are different simanim that were given over, which the rabbanim know. And therefore, many times you have to bring it to a Rav, and the Rav will take a look at it, and he'll tell you whether it's niktam or not. How to look at it? How close do you have to look at it, and all that? So there's a mabit that says you don't need to do a stackless habit. You don't have to put it in your eyes. You look at it the way you normally look at things, like 20 millimeters away. You don't have to look at it with a magnifying glass either. You look at it the way your eye sees it. But again, you have to know what you're looking for. You have to know what you're looking for. So someone who knows what they're looking for will look at it the way they normally look at it, and that's enough. This is what's called nistak. Nistak kehemnik. Even if it's not broken on top, but it started to split apart. like a hemnik. Hemnik is like a type of tool that looks like a V. If one side splits apart, first of all, let's start like this. A kosher lulav doesn't always come to a real point. Sometimes if there's a thorn on top, so that makes it look like it's a real point. But a lot of times it's the top, you'll see, it's not mamish, like to a point. It looks like the luchais, the humps, if you look at it closely. But if one side starts to split apart, it's still kasha. A hemnik is when both sides split apart and looks like a V. That's when it has this psal. Again, sometimes you need to show it to a Rav who has the experience and knows what he's looking for to decide whether this is a problem of hemnik or not.
You bend it back into shape?
You could try. Just don't break it. Yavesh, dry. So again, the yavshas, the dryness that we're talking about over here, is not clear how dry does it need to be in order to be possible. And it's not clear if it's, we're talking about the tumis. The mechaber paskins, yavshu roiv olav. He doesn't mention the tumis. But the Ramah says if the shedra is yavish, it's possible. Again, a real yavish lulav, you probably will not find because they don't usually come to the market. If it could be sometimes through sukkahs, it could reach dryness. Usually it has to be white. It has to be white, white like your shirt, which. It doesn't usually get so far like that. What you do sometimes find is that the tumis, the top point, is brownish. It's a little brownish or reddish. That's from the sun. That's when it got burnt from the sun. So there is a question whether this is called yavish or not. According to most days, it's not possible unless it's on roiv the lulav. According to those sheets, that yavish pasels b'mashus, and then you have to. It's a suffix, but the chaznin shal, it's not a problem. The briskerov was makban on this. That's why you'll see in the shuk is what's called a briskalulav. Briskalulav means it's green until the top, because they were makban not to have this brownish, this burnt stuff.
How much has to be white? The tips are white, turning white.
So that's a question, how much? In cases where there's two tumuses, so then many times we'll give it the din of sometimes on the lulav you have this like brownish, reddish stuff, which is called kara, right? And what it's doing is it's covering over the point of the lulav. So the many paiskim hold that one should remove it. You shouldn't do it yourself. Let the meicha do it, because he may blame you afterwards that you broke his lulav. Let him do it. And some paiskim hold that since there's a suffix, what's going on under there, we don't know. However, there are groups of people that are makbid dafke to get with kara, because they hold it's better, it's safer. It's there to protect the lulav, keep it fresh, and then it has a mila. Each person should figure out, I mean, should do what his minig is. Now, after you found a lulav that's mehuda in the eyes of Chazal, with these dinim that we mentioned, then it should also be mehuda in your eyes. So if you, at the end you have two lulavim which are mehuda in the eyes of Chazal, and one of them is more mehuda to you, that's the one you should get. One last thing is a knepel. What's a knepel? When the lulav on top goes down like a fishing hook. So there is a brice about a lulav shekafuf that's pasul, and because of hada. The shaila is if this knepel, what people call knepel, and you'll look at the lulav, you'll see is that called kafuf or not? Is the tshuvas harosh wrote down in the Torah that only that if the shed is straight and it's going up straight just on the top of the leaves, it's bent over, that's kasha. But other shedim are mashman that even if the leaves are bent over, la halacha the Shulchan Aruch passing like the Rosh in the Torah, and the Rosh is brought down in the Torah. Then the Rosh brought down the Torah says ani oyev yoyser. That's a mishbru says minig lahakal. However, mishbru ends off I am shay tshuva shamarich neged lulav kizeh shemabach v'radvaz amar k'tzia. So therefore, again, some people have it. There are some people that find it ani oyev oyser yoyser, that they feel that they like it better. And that's what they always get. So it's definitely welcome to Michael. But others will look for the straight ones. Sometimes you'll see the top of the lulav ends like it with a zigzag. That's kasha. Okay, I wish everyone lots of hatzlacha and find it there.